Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message. For more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
This morning we are reading from Hebrews chapter 10. So if you got your Bibles or if you got your Bible app, we're in Hebrews chapter 10, starting verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Matt, for reading that. Really appreciate it. Hey, we're going to transition now into really just our message for the day. And I'm really excited to share this word with you. This is going to challenge some of you big time, quite honestly. And but I'm excited about that because I like doing that to you guys and just making people feel a little bit uncomfortable. That's always a good thing. You're catching us in our third week. In our third week of our series that we're calling The Dwelling Defined. And what we're doing is really looking at, and I wanted to kick off the year like this, we're really looking at what our church is all about. So the first week we talked about our name, The Dwelling. God coming to dwell with his people, which is a common theme, really a central theme through all of Scripture. From beginning to end, God coming to dwell with us is huge. It's this huge idea that even just kind of still, if we actually stop and think about it, kind of rocks our world. On top of that, last week we talked about our mission. What's our mission as a church? Well, we talked about how our mission is disconnected to disciple. And so, if I can spell disconnected right, that'll be good. Is it two? I don't know. To disciple. I'm a terrible speller. Disconnected to disciple. And this isn't just like a box. This is actually kind of on a continuum, okay? It just keeps going. And we just keep growing and all this kind of stuff. Okay, well, I kind of laid that out last week about following Jesus and Jesus' invitation to you and I to actually follow him. What does that look like? What does that mean? Today, we're going to be talking about our church's strategy. Our strategy for actually what it's going to look like to follow Jesus. And it kind of revolves around essentially two words that I'm calling gathering and going. Gathering and going. This is a guy named Greg Finke wrote a book called Joining Jesus on His Mission. This is the ancient church's rhythm of what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. This is the rhythm of God's people, and it kind of always has been, to be a people that gather and go. And today, we're going to be focusing all of our attention right here on this guy, all right? What does it look like to gather around God's word, for God's people to gather together? And I want to spend some time thinking about that, okay? Especially focusing our attention on that Hebrews text where it says, don't stop meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, stirring each other up, and all the more as we see the day approaching. That's what we're going to focus our attention on. All right? So let me say a prayer, and then we're going to just kind of dive in this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I give you this time. This time, Lord, is for you to do your thing. Please help Seth Kinsey to slowly kind of disappear. Lord, you just kind of up here. We want to hear from you this morning. We're not here to hear just cool little thoughts from Seth. We want to hear you speak to us your word. So God, let me right now just share not a word more and not a word less than what you would like us to hear. We pray this boldly in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
unbelievable. Hey, how many of y'all out there are people that fall asleep in like class and stuff like that? Yeah, there's a bunch of you, about half of you. You might want to nudge the person next to you, wake them up so they can put their hand up too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is a real struggle for some of us. I can honestly say, growing up like in class and stuff like that, my one time to shine here a little bit. I didn't do this. I don't sleep in class. That's just something I've never done that I know of, at least. I've definitely been the guy who's like been next to that guy and like, hey, buddy, you know, let's not try to embarrass everybody here. And I get it. I mean, I totally get it. You know, as I was thinking about this, how many of us struggle sometimes with sleeping in class or something like that. And now today, everybody's really attentive in church, too, which is just hilarious stuff. Just kidding. It's okay. If you're tired, you just got to go. We should, like, put some cots or something over there. It'd be perfect for those of you who just need an hour to sleep. I get it. As I was thinking about our text for today, this idea of stir each other up, encourage each other. Don't stop meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. And all the more as we see the day approaching, I couldn't help but think about the author of Hebrews doing something along the lines of trying to wake us up. I wonder if he looks and almost kind of has this feeling of a people who are sleeping. A people who are maybe not awake. And he's just saying, you gotta keep stirring each other up. You gotta keep encouraging each other, and all the more as we see the day approaching. As I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking, man, this is kind of what Jesus is talking about in Mark chapter 13, when essentially Jesus says, right, he says, stay awake. Don't fall asleep. The day is coming, right? I mean, what does he say? And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Now, Jesus isn't talking there about, like, never sleeping, okay, like a continuous flow of Starbucks into your veins. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about something deeper. He's saying there are things that are so important that you actually could fall asleep on and miss out on some really important stuff. And then the Apostle Paul in Thessalonians, this is another book in the Bible, okay, and I have it up here for you, but he makes a connection between falling asleep, and then a couple verses later, he adds this idea of encourage each other. And so I think the author to Hebrews is doing something similar. I think he's looking at us and he's saying, don't fall asleep. Don't become blind. Don't become, and you can add the word you want to use, it'll help you. Don't become apathetic to the most important things that we encounter in this life. And does that happen sometimes? See, the author to Hebrews here is encouraging us to gather together. Do we even see people as important? Do we see people in our lives as vital? Because I wonder if we even see life and its challenges as the things that actually could get us to fall asleep around the most important ideas that we come into contact with. I was driving with my sister. I was probably about 12 or 13 years old. I went on a trip with my oldest sister, Tammy, to Colorado. We were visiting my other sister, who was in Denver at the time. And we drove from Wisconsin all the way to Denver. And I couldn't drive. She was the only one that could drive. And so we were heading that way. And we just moved from Nebraska into Colorado, which sounds really cool. But actually, at that point of Colorado, still pretty much Nebraska. Okay? Pretty much same thing. You know what I'm saying? You been up there? There's, you know, you think, yeah, Colorado, it's going to be beautiful. It's not yet. You know, it's still got a long ways till beauty. But we're in this kind of like ugly part of Colorado. And it was getting really late. And we were trying to get to Denver. And I couldn't drive, so my sister was doing all the driving. And I can just remember, I remember being so tired. I just wanted to go to bed. I don't even remember what I have no idea what time it was, but it was just late, late, late. And I just wanted to go to sleep, and so I started kind of curling up, and my sister was like, Seth, you can't sleep, man. I'm that tired too. Like, you need to help me stay awake. And I'm just like, I really just do not want to do this. And so I'm like, okay, I'll try to help you stay awake. And we, for the next, like, hour are trying and trying and trying to keep each other up and singing the stupid songs. A, there's an A, B, C, you know, the little games. And then I remember we literally rolled down the windows. It's like, it is out, it's like 30 degrees out, okay? It's like cold. And I remember us just rolling the windows down, and me and Tammy, so tired. This is so dangerous. I should not be telling you guys this. But like, we just, it was so dangerous, but we just had to get to Denver. And we rolled the windows down, and I think it was an old Buick. And we just rolled those babies down, and we just like, staying awake. And I just remember covering up in the blanket. I had a blanket around me, and I was just cuddled up. And I was so tired, but I was just, we're going to do it. You know, I'm just freezing. Just freezing. As we see the day drawing near, and what's the Hebrew, what's he talking about here? He's talking about when the day that Jesus would return. As we see and know that that day is coming when Jesus will actually reappear to restore all things and make all things new, as that day is coming, I think our trip needs to start looking a little bit like rolling the windows down, staying awake, and poking the other person. Hey, man. Hey, Tam. Tammy. I think it can be way easier than we realize to actually fall asleep, to become apathetic. Man, I was reading this just that recently. Have you guys heard of the book? It's called The Screwtape Letters. Have you guys heard that? So it's, okay, real quick, fast setup. The Screwtape Letters is a fictional book written around kind of ideas of truth. This guy by C.S. Lewis, okay, or just a leading theologian of our kind of time, but he's dead now, of course. But he writes this book about demons that are working in people's lives. And one of the demons, one of the kind of big head demons, writes to one of these smaller demons who's working with a particular host or a particular human. And this is what he says. And there's obviously a lot of backstory here. I don't have time to get into it. But he says this. He says, have you even read my letters? This is the head demon writing to the lower demon. The smaller demon is trying to get his host to become an atheist. But he says this. Our goal is not atheism. What our goal is a pseudo-Christian. Our goal is a pseudo-Christian who is angry and hateful toward the world, but ignorant about the condition of his own soul. Who's ignorant of the condition of his own, who might fall asleep to the condition of his own soul. This requires distraction, subversion, and above all, apathy. You take that wherever you want to take it. But as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, man, you and I, we struggle with gathering. We struggle with this idea of the need to gather. And I wonder if sometimes it's because we have fallen asleep. Have we fallen asleep? Now, gathering might be difficult for us in different ways and for different reasons. First of all, we might just see people as annoying. I get it. I don't probably get it. I get it because Jackie, I'm not trying to put that you think people are annoying, but I'm married to an introvert, right? And a lot of you are introverts, probably half of you in the room are introverts, and so people drain you. And so being around people is what kind of drains you. It doesn't actually give you energy. It takes energy from you. But see, I don't think the author of Hebrews is talking to a particular personality. He's not saying, gather together, all you extroverts. Right? He's not saying that, although that would be awesome, folks. That would be a blast. We're meeting at Buffalo Wild Wings at noon. Boom. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, be there. But he's not saying that. What he's saying is, he's saying, listen, I realize there is such an issue with us that we face some of the biggest challenges and we can't do them alone. Listen, you can't do sin. You can't do evil. You can't do this world's traps and how it sets traps for us around every corner, around things like materialism or relativism or whatever it might be. It sets all sorts of traps for us. You can't do some of these things alone. You need people who will come alongside you, who will roll down the windows and who will keep poking you and who will allow themselves to be poked and stirred up and encouraged and begin to stir up in other people. What's really most important? And I think what the author of Hebrews is saying is we have to be gathering with people, recognizing that people at the deepest levels are we need people. We need people. Now, don't get me wrong. Go off on your own and take your time away and watch a movie or two. I mean, Jesus himself gets away. That's fine. But some of our biggest issues that lie in front of us, we have to have people around us. We have to be doing life with each other. And I get nervous that the very word encouragement, this is my biggest issue with this whole message. I think some of you in this room, and I don't know who you are, but I think some of you in this room take the word encourage, and you actually look at that word and you say, well, in order to be encouraged, that must mean that I'm facing something that I can't do on my own. And some of you hate that. You hate that because our culture teaches us that if we face something, we should be able to kind of dig it up in ourselves to do it on our own. And the author is saying, you gotta stop neglecting gathering. You need each other. You need to be doing life with people. Isolation, apathy, falling asleep are so dangerous to the Christian walk, guys. They're so dangerous. We forget. We fall asleep. We become apathetic. We need challenge. We need reminders. This is why I love the Old Testament. The Old Testament in Scripture is so powerful because if not for anything else, it continually reminds us that the people of God so easily forget the things that God has done for them. And you know, I've taught on this before. I've taught on this. I mean, constantly the people of God in the Old Testament have God do something for them and they're like, woohoo! And then they forget. And then God does something for them, woohoo! And then like a couple page later, they forget. And they're back into idolatry, and they're back into serving themselves, and they're back into worshiping idols, and they're just back into the world and its traps. And this is like the reason for the prophets. The prophets are constantly coming and saying, wake up, people. Wake up, wake up, wake up. This is why we gather. We gather to stir up, to love and good works. We gather to encourage each other, to walk with each other, to remind each other of the most important things. You know, I'm thinking, what's the most important thing? Well, the most important thing is that Jesus has come, that God has actually put on flesh. The God of the universe has put on flesh and blood, and he goes to the cross to take your sin, to take all of your sin, to take all of your brokenness upon himself. And then die. And die for you and for me. He brings forgiveness of sins to each and every one of us. And then in the resurrection, I mean, we believe that Jesus rose from the dead. That he actually rose from the dead. Defeats sin, defeats the devil, defeats death itself. And ascends into heaven and one day will return. We could have said the Apostles' Creed this morning, right? And he will return again on that great day, the day. As we look towards that day with the windows down and people all around, poking and prodding and challenging and encouraging and sometimes rebuking and walking with and doing life with. And some of us just keep dozing off and keep dozing off. And listen, we all struggle with dozing. But I wonder if some of us are just asleep. We've fallen asleep to the most important things. And we've forgotten what God has done for us. That He loves us. He loves us so much. And we just need reminded. Just reminded. 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 I mean, this is what I do with my accountability partner. There's a gathering that takes place on the phone once a month. I talk to this buddy of mine, and it's amazing how many times our conversation is the exact same conversation as last month. And I share the struggles that I'm having, and he comes back and says, "Don't think like that, man. You need to stop that thinking. You need to focus your attention on Jesus and what He's calling you to do." And yeah, good, good, good. And he shares his struggles, and man, you're doing awesome. You're doing a great job, or you need to start doing this, or you need, and it's all the same stuff. It's like nothing new. It's just reminding each other and coming alongside of each other, doing life with each other and stirring each other up. Do we struggle with this? Is anybody in here? I don't know. I mean, this is that idea of encouragement. I think of my daughter, Ember, our youngest right now. Our youngest daughter is at this place where she's like starting to learn to walk. You know, you guys ever do that one? And I mean, they're just, it's incredible. I love this stage because they're just funny. You just video them and YouTube, you know. No, I'm just kidding. I don't do that. But they're just like bopping around. And it's funny because like sometimes we'll grab Ember and we'll just sit her up on her feet and we'll say, "Come on, come on, you can do it. Can you do it?" And, you know, she'll take like, you know, two steps and it's just like fall down. And we'll just be like, "It's all good job, Ember. Good job. So good job," right? We all have that other voice or whatever. But like, "Good job. Love you, pumpkin." And then, you know, you pick her back up again and put her down and, "Come on, you can do it. Come on, come on." And all of a sudden, Ember just slowly starts bopping along weeks after weeks after weeks and months after months. And all of a sudden, she starts to walk. Encourage one another. Stir each other up. Sometimes we got to grab each other. "Here, come on. There you go. Standing again. Here we go. Come on, buddy. Come on." And I know you've done that for me. I've had people in my life who've come along and said, "Seth, here you go, man. Come on, Seth. Here we go. Let's do this thing. Let's do it, buddy." You guys struggling with that? Do you see how important people are? Our gatherings? The Christian walk, we need those who will come alongside us. So here's my question. How often do we gather? This is one nobody likes to talk about. How often do we gather? Everybody's nervous. How often do we gather? Lyle, do you mind throwing up that text again? Check this out. "As is the habit of some," there's a habit of neglect. If you're in that habit of neglect, you need to get that smacked out of you. Try to do something with that. Have somebody come and wake you up. "But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." If you jump, I don't have it on the screen, but if you jump to the book of Acts, where the church is just kind of starting out, how often are the people in Acts worshiping together? Daily. They're coming together daily. Oh, snap. And then the author of Hebrews says, "And all the more as you see the day approaching." What is he saying here? He's saying, I think it's going to continue to get worse. I think the struggle with apathy, I think the struggle with falling asleep, I think the struggle with being able to step out and instead of serving self, serve other, is going to increasingly become more difficult. So you have to be gathering together. And all the more. So my first spot that I would say we need to be gathering, okay? My first spot is I would draw a little picture here of God's house. God's house, and I would say this, on a weekly basis, weekly gathering together in God's house. What does that mean? Well, that means coming together around the things like worship and being able to do that as a larger assembly, as a larger body in preparation for the great assembly someday. It's going to be awesome. We gather together around the things like the sacraments. We see people get baptized and enter into God's family. It's incredible. We hear God's word as it's shared with us. And okay, here, that's a good word. We go to things like weddings where we witness incredible gifts of God come together. We do things like funerals. I mean, I told Jackie the other day, I was like, when I die, if I were to die right now, I would lay right here. That's where I want to be. As long as Mr. Popowitz, owner of this place, lets that happen. But I already asked him. If I die, I'm going right here. As of right now, I'm going right here in a casket. And if half of you show up, that'll be great. That'll be great. But why? Why would we do that? Why would we come together around somebody who's passed away? Because to celebrate and to be reminded of the life that they lived in Christ, we'd be reminded of that. I already know the guy who's going to preach at my funeral, right? And the reason I've got him already picked is because he's not going to talk about me at all. He's going to talk about Jesus. And I know that about this guy. He's just going to bypass Seth completely. That's great. Awesome. I want you preaching, man, because he's going to talk about Jesus. He's going to root it all in the gospel. And we're going to all be reminded of the life that we can all have in Christ Jesus. That's why we gather weekly in God's house and we do some of these things together. Okay, where else? Well, I would say bi-weekly. Let's draw a nicer house here. Nice house. I'm going to do bi-weekly in a friend's house. What do I mean by that? This is our friend's house, our neighbor's house. This means, and this is essentially at the dwelling, something we do. We do small groups, okay? We do small groups here, and I want to get you plugged in. Now, small groups that can sound super programmatic and stuff. They're not really meant to be, but ultimately, it's just to try to help you make connections with some other people in the home, doing life with each other, eating a meal together, hanging out with each other. Listen, if you want to get involved in a small group here, or you would like to lead a small group here, please come and talk to me like today. And I really mean that. Reach out to me. We want to plug in. Okay? This is just connecting with our people, doing life together on a bi-weekly basis. And this is the one that's most near and dear to my heart. This really is. At the very top here. See, you thought I was working down, but actually up here, there's this little house. And that one is daily. This is daily in our own homes. This is daily in our own homes. What does it look like to gather around God's word and prayer and praise and challenge and rebuke and help and encouragement on a daily basis in your own home? This is going to look different for different people. This is going to be the spouse gathering together on God's word and prayer. That might be what it looks like. This might be the family with the kids gathering together on God's word and doing that on a daily basis. This might be you by yourself because you're the only one in the home gathering with Jesus around God's word and prayer on a regular basis or with a friend on Skype or however it might work for you. But it should not sound weird. And I know I'm going off into crazy land for some of you. I get it, but just follow me for a second. This should not be weird for us to wake up on a daily basis and be in God's word and go to bed at night and connect with our family and be in God's word. It should not be weird that we would pray together as a family. This is not for the pastors that are out there. This is the basic Christian walk. And we have simply fallen asleep and become apathetic to what it looks like. We have turned gathering regularly into once a month, twice a month, once a week. And I'm just letting you know, as a church, the dwelling, that's not where we're going. I get it. Jacqueline's reading a book right now. My wife's reading a book where they counted the statistics around those who are churched. They counted people who are churched, okay? Churched are people who go to church once every 6 months. That's how they were doing it. That's how they were counting it. I mean, I don't know how you think about that. I don't know how you, and I get there's more to this message than what I'm just able to preach here, but man, are you okay with that? And I'm not talking about for other people. I'm talking about, are you okay with that for your life? And here I'm really zooming in on the Christian person who's like, I believe this stuff to be true. If you believe this stuff to be true, then what does it look like to gather and all the more as you see the day drawing near? Do you actually recognize the struggle that we have as we live in this world? Or are you sleeping? Have you become apathetic? Do you need stirred up? Do you need encouraged? Do you need people who will walk with you and do life with you? I'm telling you right now, don't think I'm lone gunning it. Pew, 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 Seth, the Lone Ranger. No way. Are you kidding me? There's points of contact with God's word and prayer all over in my life, and I still feel like, oh man, what does Seth need to learn from this and from my family? To be regularly in God's word, to be in prayer, to be encouraging each other, to be walking with my kids, to be helping Jackie and discipling her and her discipling me. Seth, this isn't okay, man. This is what it should look like. Okay, good discipling word. Good, good, good. All the more. We need each other. I'm telling you, and I got to end. I know I'm watching the time. As we are walking, as we are driving down this road called life, and the mountains are up there, but they're a long ways off yet. See what I'm saying? We're in Colorado, but it ain't pretty yet. We're still on the east side. And it's freezing out. And you're driving in your car. I'm nervous that some of you have literally fallen asleep at the wheel. And you're doing 70 miles an hour. And you're sleeping. You need people who will wake you up. And we have to get out of a rhythm of, I think I can make out a couple more weeks. And we kind of jostle awake. You ever have that happen? That's freaky. I've had that one. Mountain Dew, you know. We've got to roll the windows down. We've got to surround ourselves with people who can encourage us, can challenge us, who will bring a rebuke to our lives when we need a rebuke, who will walk with us, who will stir us up, who we can stir up other people. We need to start taking this a little bit serious. There's the challenge. And it's all rooted in what God's done for us. It's rooted in the fact the mountains are just up ahead. The day is coming. The day is drawing near. It's going to be a good day. For those who take this serious, who keep their focus on Jesus. Jesus at the center. Hey, let me leave you with a blessing and a reminder about our Bible reading plans. Don't be afraid to go on to our mobile app or a website and go pick those babies up. I think they're really going to bless you. We're going to take those right through the week before Ash Wednesday. So for the next quite a few weeks here, we're going to just spend some time in that Bible reading plan. So may that bless you. A reminder that everything you see, it's got to go in that back closet back there. If you're able to stick around and throw a chair in a little cubby and help us clean up, that's always helpful. And let me leave you with a blessing. May our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you and keep you now, today, and this next week. In his name, go. Amen. Thanks, guys. Have a great week. The Lord bless you. Booyah!